Today's share is Masechta Bava Basra Daf Mem Aleph. We will begin by Ezer Hashem Yisbaruch and Daf Mem Aleph Amun Aleph at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah Kol Chazaka Sheini Meitaina. Whenever we speak about Chazaka, particularly the Chazaka on a piece of property, it has to be accompanied with a Taina, with the person who's saying that I'm on this property and it's mine, should have a claim why it's his. And therefore, says the Mishnah, Kol Chazaka She'ena Mai Taina, Chazaka that is not accompanied with a Taina, the halacha is Eina Chazaka, it's not going to be considered, a valid Chazaka that he should be able to prevail with this Chazaka. Ketzad, and the Mishnah explains, Amalai, if the person who owned the property says to the person who's on the property, what are you doing in this property? And he responds, nobody said I may not be here. That is not enough of a chazaka, because he didn't make a claim why he has the chazaka. And the Rishonim point out that it's not enough that he didn't say, well, why shouldn't it be mine? What's required is that just by saying that doesn't mean that you lose. You have to come with a valid claim why this is the chazaka. And therefore, just saying, well, nobody told me not to be here is inadequate. Shamart, but if he says, therefore, Shamar Chartali, you sold me this property, Shnasatali Mimatana, you gave me this property as a gift. Avicham chartel machrali, your father sold it to me. Avicham nasni b'matana, or your father gave it to me as a gift. Then harezu chazaka, it's considered a valid chazaka. Says the Gemara. However, v'ba mishum yerusha, if somebody's claim to the property is because he inherited it, that his father had this property and he inherited from him, ain't tzarich taina. We allow him to prevail in this entire. And he doesn't have to say how his father obtained the property. For it's not expected that a son should necessarily know how his father obtained the property. And therefore, as long as we're going to learn in our shir that he could prove that his father was on this property, that will be enough for him to prevail the entire. So of course, when we speak about chazaka, as we've already seen in our Masechta, there are many different types of situations of chazaka. There's cheskes karka, which is the simple case, the case that we illustrated our Mishnah with somebody's on a property, and that is a dispute. Is it his property? Is it not his property? There's cheskes metaltlin, when I have something which is not a property. There's cheskes tashmishin, where I have a chazaka that I have a right to use something. So the question is, what chazaka is our Mishnah talking about? It's certainly speaking about Cheskes Karka. The opinion of Rabbeinu Yonah is, however, that by Cheskes Metatlin, you don't have to have a taina, you don't have to have a valid claim accompanying. And he gives two reasons. He says, property is never under anybody's full possession. It's where it is. Metatlin is possession. You could have full possession of Metatlin. Another explanation, he says, that since by metatlin there's a chazaka, the kol ma'ashatachas yodim ha'ushaloi, anything that I control is mine. That's a special rule that was said by metatlin, because he says there's an assumption that nobody's just going to pick something up that doesn't belong to him and steal it. And therefore, that he says that metatlin, you don't have to have a chazaka. There are many that disagree with Rabbeinu Yonah. The Tzoyce's opinion, the Nesivus's opinion, is that even Cheskes Metatlin, even though you don't have to have the three-year chazaka that our Perek began with, but you do have to have a Taina to be able to prevail. Ritva asks this question. If we learn the Mishnah, first the Mishnah says, just saying that nobody ever said anything to me why on this property is not a valid chazaka. What would be if the person who has the chazaka didn't answer? He says, I'm just ignoring you. He refuses to answer. Then it seems that it would be a good chazaka. But then from the continuation of the Mishnah, it seems that that's not enough. What you need to have is a full-fledged taina. You have to have a full-fledged claim. And the absence of a full-fledged claim, you won't have a chazaka. So he explains what the Mishnah is coming to teach us is like this. If the person began by claiming, well, nobody ever said anything to me when I was in this property, and then he says afterwards, well, I also happened to have bought this property. So even though we learned earlier in our perek that a person ein toin v'chayz v'toin, that you're not allowed to change your story, here, when you first say, well, nobody ever said anything to me, and then you continue at a different point saying, well, I bought it, that's not considered a changing of your taina. That's not considered a situation of toin v'chayz v'toin. Because when he's, and the explanation he gives is because as we learn the halachas of chazaka from the beginning of our perek, the fundamental issue, as Rava taught us at the beginning of the perek, when we think about chazaka, is that, well, why don't you have a shtar to back you up? Why? Where's your deed? And the answer is because at a certain point, people don't hold on to deeds anymore. So when he says that no one ever said anything to me, he's addressing the issue of why don't I have my deed. Now when he gives another explanation that I bought it from you or you gave it to me as a gift or whatever, that is two parts of what he needs to be saying. And therefore, they don't contradict each other. They complement each other. And therefore, it's not considered toin v'chayz v'toin. Said the Tosfos Rid, disagrees. The Tosfos Rid says that a person, if he first said, well, nobody ever said anything, and then he wants to continue at another point and saying, and I bought it, etc., that would be toin v'chayz v'toin, and it's not acceptable. Moreover, the other Rishonim have a compromise opinion. Their opinion is that if he first said, well, nobody ever said anything to me, and then he says, while still in Beis Din, but not at the same time, and you sold it to me, then we would accept it. But if all he said was, nobody said anything to me, and after he leaves Beis Din, does he remember to say, come back and say, you sold it to me, then we won't accept it. The Rambam says that even though the focus of our Mishnah has been on the person who's on the property, and that the Mishnah has taught us that you have to have a taina, doesn't mean that if the person doesn't have a taina, he automatically loses the din Torah. Explains the Rambam that the person who says that this, the ma'arer, the person who says this property is mine, has to have edim to back that up, because otherwise he has no claim. And the Nesivus explains why does this person who claims that the property is his have to have Edom to back it up? Because when Beis Din awards, explains the Nesivus, the person who claims that the property is his, when Beis Din ultimately will award it to him, if the person with a chazaka doesn't have a strong enough chazaka to win the Din Torah, explains the Nesivus, why is Beis Din awarding it to him? So he explains, because it's because of the mitzvah, Shabbos Aveda, giving back somebody something that he lost, something that is rightfully his. So says the Nesivus, the halacha is that we don't return something to somebody unless he could bring Edom and prove that this was his. If he can't back up his claim that this is his with Edom, then he can't have a claim. The Stipler finds that difficult to understand, because he says if we go back to Masechta Baba Metzia, we didn't see that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda, you have to have Edom that it was yours. And that's why I saw that the Meiri, unlike the Rambam, says that if somebody comes with a definitive claim and he says that this is mine, even though he doesn't have Edom to back his claim up, he could still win the Din Torah. The Tzai says that Mishnah said that what are valid claims? Shemachartli, that you sold me this properly, Shinasatli Matani gave it to me as a gift. Says the Tzais that the claim of Nasatli Matana, it's not a valid claim. People can't just walk around saying that people are giving away their things. The only reason, explains the Tzais, the Mishnah considered this a valid taina, is with a migui. Since he could have said that it's mine, and I bought it from you. So migui that he could have said that explains the tzais. That's why we believe him when he says shenasata liba matana. The tzais also says that when we speak about cheskas metaplin, that we began by saying cheskas metaplin is somewhat different than cheskas karka. He says that why, according to those that don't require a taina by metaplin, is it not required? Because we have a rule, anything that I have is mine. So therefore says the tzais that is only said by a gadol. By a katan, we won't say that kind of a svara. The nesivus disagrees, and the nesivus says that when we're saying in our gemara, kol mashe tachas yad adam hu shaloi, it doesn't make a difference if it's a cotton. It doesn't make a difference if it's a cotton or a gadol. The halach is that we have that chazaka. So, as we said, the Ktzais's opinion is that even b'metantlin, the halach is you have to have a chazaka on the metantlin. Says, however, there are situations where we differentiate between karka and metatlin, meaning that when we speak about karka, the halacha is that we don't say that the chazaka of metatlin and the chazaka of karka are just the opposite one of the other. By metatlin, there's a chazaka koma shetach siadam hu shaloi. Therefore, it's much easier to win with a chazaka by metaplin than it is to win with such a chazaka by metaplin. It's easier by metaplin than by karka. But now, there's a different type of chazaka, which was not really discussed, and that is a chazaka on a mitzvah. Somebody has a chazaka that he is the one that always does a certain mitzvah, always gets a certain aliyah. And the question is, does that chazaka require a taina or not? So most are of the opinion, and the Tumim says this, that there's another chazaka that we've learned in our Masechta about, and that's cheskas tashmishin. Well, I have obtained a chazaka to do something in your property. And when we learned the sugya of Cheskas Tashmishin, we quoted that there's a very serious machlokes rishonim. What is required by Cheskas Tashmishin? How much time do you have to have it to achieve a chazaka? Do you have to have a taina or not? Says the Tumim, whatever the halacha is by Cheskas Tashmishin will be the halacha by Cheskas Mitzvahs. But then the Tumim adds a very interesting point. He says there was a person who claimed that he had a chazaka, that he had the schus to sweep the shul every Friday, every Matzah Shabbos. And now somebody else wants to have that right. And the person who has the right says that I have a chazaka on this. Will he have a chazaka or not? So the Tumim says that's not called a situation that you have a chazaka. And he explains, he says a chazaka that's achieved by something that everybody wants and everybody does, and you have had it 3 years or whatever, so that's a proof that you have a claim to this. But if it's something that people normally don't think about, just because you've always done it, doesn't mean that you have a chazaka with a tine on it. It means you did it because nobody else really cared to do it. And that's not the way you achieve a chazaka. On the other hand, what happens if the chazaka I have is not just based on me being on the property, holding on to the property, but actually having done something in the property? Is that the fact that I did something the equivalent to a taina? The opinion of the Yad Ramah and the Miri is that that's not the way you achieve a chazaka. However, the Miri does bring down other opinions that a chazaka of doing something is even stronger than a taina. The fact that I was building on your property, that's even stronger that he has and achieves a chazaka. There's also a machloikis rishonim. If you have a chazaka, so we said that you have to have a taina. So let's say you have a chazaka with a taina. Do you automatically win the din Torah because you have a chazaka with a taina? Or if in order to win the din Torah, you're also going to have to make a shvuas heses, to have you get this property? The opinion of the Rambam is that you have to swear a shvuas heses. The Magen Mishnah, however, says that once, as our Mishnah taught us, you have a chazaka with a taina, nothing more is required. We said that Babasham Yerusha, but somebody who says that I got this property because it was my father's property, that is the equivalent of a taina. He doesn't have to know how his father got this property. However, having said that, we also explained that the Gemara is going to teach us that he has to be able to prove that his father was indeed on this property for some period of time. So so now the machlokes rishonim is, what does that mean? Does it mean that we have to say that he was on the property as he died? That's the opinion of the Rashbam and the Rosh. And the Beis Halevi says that that's the opinion of the Rambam as well. Not just that my father was on the property, but as my father passed away, he was on the property. Other Rishonim say, as long as you could prove that your father was on the property, it doesn't make a difference when he was on the property. Was it, you could, even if you can't prove that was the case as he was leaving the world, it'll be still enough for you to be able to keep the property. Ask the Gemara. We learned in our Mishnah that to win with a chazaka, you have to have a taina. Says the Gemara, pshita, why would we think that not having a taina is good enough? You have to be able to explain how you got this property. Answers the Gemara, Matatayma, Hai Gavra Mizna Zav Nilayara. This person bought the property. Vishtara Havalei. And of course, as he bought the property, he had a deed, Virchis, and he lost it. Vahadu Kamahochi. And the reason that he's saying it, he's not saying that when he's being confronted, because Savar, he's concerned, Amina, if he's claiming that I bought this property, the seller, the person who's making the claim, is going to say, show me your deed. And if he can't show him the deed, because he doesn't have it, he knows that what's going to be the reaction. The reaction is going to be, oh, you're a ganef. You're on this property illegally. Because as the Rashbam explains, he isn't enough of a Talmud Chochem. He didn't learn Perek Cheskes Abatim. Where in Perek Cheskes Abatim, we've learned that saying that you're not expected, that Locha doesn't expect you to have that document forever. And therefore, in order to avoid this type of a back and forth, all he says is, I was on the property And nobody said anything. And he doesn't want to talk. He doesn't want to get involved with the shtar. Hilchach. Therefore, in order to do that, lemele anan, maybe we should elicit this response from him. Until mishtar havel chav irchis, and say to him, maybe you did have a document, you just lost it. And why should we do that? Explains the Gemara. Kegoyin zed, the pasuk says, in Mishlei, psach pilcha le'ilem, we have to help a person who can't speak. And therefore, in such a case, Bezdin should encourage him and get him to say this, kamash melon, that the halacha is that we don't get him to say it, but if he says it on his own, then we'll believe him. But we go back to what we said earlier in the shir. What does that mean if he says it? Does he have to, till when can he say it and be believed? And the Ritva explains the Gemara. The Ritva explains that it makes sense that a person who was on the property so long and nobody said anything to him, that there is something that should elicit a question. Why didn't you say anything in all these years? Isn't this a proof that he really owns the property? And that's why the Gemara says maybe that we should do that. Teaches us the Gemara that that's not something that Bezdin should do. If the person says it, fantastic. If he doesn't say it, we don't say it for him. Our Gemara introduced here the pasuk of Psach Picha Lilam. So I saw that the Imre Shefer on the Agadosh of Pesach says that in the Seder, when we speak about the Arba Bon, about the four sons, we say She'eni Yidei Lishol, the one that can't ask At Psachloi. So he explains the At Psachloi that we find in the Seder is from the same wording of the pasuk that we just quoted, Psach Picha Le'ilam. What we're supposed to do, At Psachloi, is that we're being taught and we're being told that we have to, if we have children who are not naturally curious and not naturally learning, we are the ones that have to draw them out to learn. And that's why it says, v'garta levincha. It doesn't say v'amarta levincha. V'garta levincha. We have to get them to try to learn. And the same, and that's here too. We would think that that's what it means when he said, psach picha lo'ilam. Anav simen. Says the Gemara, Rav Anan shokel bitke ba'ari. There was a flood in the property of Rav Anan. Ozel ahad the guda ba'ari de chavri. And now, after the flood went away, he built a wall on to. And what happened was, because he didn't see where the original wall was, he put up the wall in his neighbor's property. Also, after the owner of that property noticed what happened, he demanded that Rav Anan should demolish the wall and put it up in the right place, because otherwise he would have chazakah in his property. Also, made Rav Nachman, Amalei, and Rav Nachman said, Zila Hader, go, in fact, and put back where they belong. So Rav Hanan said, V'achzikali, I built this wall, and you, in fact, even helped me build the wall. And therefore, since you never said anything, and you helped build the wall, so going back to something we said earlier, that should certainly be considered a proof that you let me have this property, that you were moichel this property to me, and I don't have, and it's mine. Amalei, so Rav Nachman said to Rav Anan Kaman, Who are based on what are you making this claim? You weren't here for 3 years. You're saying it to Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel, because this is the opinion of Yehuda and Shmuel. Dama ko b'fonav la'alta have a chazaka. That if the person is here, the person who owned the property, and he didn't say anything, I immediately have a chazaka. But says the Gemara, less hilchas kavasaychu. And where do we have this opinion of Yehuda? We go back to where we discussed why is there a rule of 3 years. So Rabbanan said a chazaka is 3 years. Rabbi Yehuda said that the reason we give a chazaka for 3 years, because there may be a situation where the owner of this property is in a sfamya, the owner of this property is in Spain, until he hears about what happened, that somebody, it takes a while till he gets the news that somebody's in his property. It takes a while till he comes back and says something. That's why we need 3 years. So when we learned the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, we pointed out, so that's the situation only if the person, the Marakama, the Ma'arer, wasn't here. So that's why we had to give him all these years to find out what's going on. But let's say he was here, then the expectation, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is that he should have said something immediately. And if he didn't say something immediately, it's a proof that it's not his. And that's why here we're saying, the fact that I'm here and I built this wall and you didn't say anything and you helped me is a proof that it's mine. But says the Gemara, but less hilchus kavasayu. That's not the way we paskin. Amalei for achol. But he says, okay, so we don't follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that a chazak is achieved immediately. But he was meichel me. What's the proof he was meichel? The os of a sayib, a good bahadoi. He helped me build the wall. Isn't that an indication that that the wall is mine and it's on my property? So Rav Nachman told him, Amalei, mechila b'tosi. This mechila was made by mistake. At Gufa, and Rav Nachman made his point. You yourself, what would have been, ihav yidat. You're an honest person. And had you known that you were building a wall in your neighbor's property, certainly, lo avadata, you would have never built such a wall. So now, Rav Nachman says to him, hecht at lo ihav yidat. If you would have known, you wouldn't have done it. So the same thing we could say about your neighbor. Hunami lo ihav yada. He didn't realize that you're building the wall on his property. And therefore, the halach is that you don't have to build the wall again. Says the Gemara, Rav Kahana shokel bitka ba'ari. Rav Kahana, again, there was a flood in the property of Rav Kahana. Ozel had the guda ba'ari delay the day. And he built the wall, again, not on his own property. Ozel kameid Rav Yehuda. So the neighbor comes to Rabbi Yehuda and says that this person, the Rav Kahana, built a wall on his property. Says the Gemara, Ozel Isatrei Sadi, and he brought two witnesses to back up his claim that Rav Kahana built the wall on his property. But what happened here was that the two witnesses that he brought did not say the same story. Chanamar, one witness said, Tati Otsiai Soil, how much did he move into that property, the distance of two rows of something that we plant? The Chanama Tlusi Otsiai Soil, three rows. Omale, so Yehuda said to Rav Kahana, Zil Shalom Trei Megoy Tlas. You should pay back two of three. Because indeed, there's one that's saying three, but both of them agreeing, but in two there is three. And if in three, there's two. So therefore, since they are both in agreement that you certainly owe the amount of space of two, that's much you have to pay. So we begin now the sugya, if two edim that are not consistent with their testimony can, under certain circumstances, combine. But the rishonim, the raven, in order to frame this gemara, says that the only time we say it is if this one said three and this one said two. So that the question is, can we combine them? Can we not combine them? Under what circumstances could they be combined? But says the Raven, if the way they said it was that the one that said three, I'm saying it's three and not two. So by adding those words of saying three and not two, then the halacha is than those two Edom who are so saying such different claims can never combine. Amalei, so Rav Kahana said to Rav Yehuda, based on whose opinion are you letting these two Edom who are seemingly saying contradictory testimony combine? Come on. said, so Rabbi Yehuda said, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. I'm basing it on what I heard from Shimon ben Elazar. The Tanya, Amar of Shimon ben Elazar. Le'nechlu b'sham b'sillel. There's no argument. L'shnei kiti eidim. We have two pairs of witnesses. L'shachas, Omeris Pliny. One pair says that this person owes $100 to somebody else. V'achas Omeris. And one pair says, Messiah. Shesh b'chlal Messiah mana. That the second pair and the first pair are all agreeing on 100. The argument is strictly over the second 100. Aman nechleku. Where do we find the machlokes b'shamay b'sil? Akat achas. When you have just one pair of edim. Eid echer she'echer oimer mana. One says that the amount of the loan was $100. Vechor amim saim, the other one says that the amount of the loan was $200. Shebeis amir amirim nechleku edusan. We can't combine their edus because one is saying 100 and one is saying 200. Rabbi Hillel says that they're all agreeing to 100. Yesh bechlal mesayim mana. That there is 100, within 200 there is 100. And therefore, based on that, we can let them combine. The Rishonim point out that even according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar's opinion of Beis Shammai, that these two separate edim cannot combine, and therefore it's not considered an edus even $100 that they could force the loiver to pay, the halacha still is that it's no worse than an eid echad. And just like when somebody has an eid echad making a claim against them, he has to make a shvua. Here too, he would have to make a shvua. Tosfos explains that what is the difference, what is the basis of the machlokes? So Tosfos explains the Beis Hillel's opinion is that the reason they could combine because they're not saying, they're not essentially saying one to the other, one of us is a liar. One paid better attention, and that's why he saw 200. That's how we explain what happened here. And the other one wasn't paying such careful attention, and he said only 100. The Tosfos Rid has a different approach. He says, the machloikus of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is the primary point of their edus. If the primary point of the edus is to say that this person is a loiva, so they both agreeing that he's a loiva and that he's a malva. If, however, the edus is not just to say the primary part of the edus doesn't just speak to him being a loiva and him being a malva, but they're also the amount is critical, so then Beis Shammai says, we can't combine these two edim. Where would there be a nafkamina? The nafkamina would be in a case where we have these two edim. So here they're clearly disagreeing, but now we want them to be a pair of edim, to be edim together in another situation. Can we allow them to combine as edim? Do we say, there's certainly one of these two people that said something that's not true? And if he's a lawyer, he's a possible aid. And therefore, he can never... And we know one of these two people said something which is not true. Since one of these two people certainly said something that's not true, if we're going to rely on them to be aid them together, we'll have a very big problem. If, however, we're saying, as Tosfos suggested, it's not that they're lawyers. One paid more attention than the other. That doesn't disqualify somebody. That it may result in them saying not the same thing, but it doesn't completely disqualify them, and therefore, in another situation, they could still combine to be Adam. So that's why he said that here you have there are two Adam that agree that at least you went into your neighbors. That Rav Yehuda said to Rav Kahana, there are two people that are saying that you went at least the distance, the area of two rows worth into your neighbor's property. That they certainly both agreed to, and that's the amount you have to give up. Amalei, so Rav Kahana still says to Rav Yehuda, v'masinalach igartim merava, I will bring you a letter from Eretz Yisrael. Dein aloch Rav Shimon ben Elazar. We don't follow the opinion of Shimon ben Elazar. Amalei, says the Gemara, Rav Yehuda said to Rav Kahana, L'chi teisi, when you'll bring me such a letter, I will review what I said. But I know that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Elazar, and therefore the halacha is you, these two edim can combine. Says the Gemara, who gave the garb kashd belisa abishnim? There was somebody that lived in a place called Kashtop on the upper floor of a home for 4 years. Osamar the basic, the owner of the home comes ashkhe, and he finds him there. Amalei, and he says to him, my baba, hi basic, what are you doing in my home? Amalei, miplanya zavinta, I bought it from a certain individual, the zavna minach, who bought this from you. Asla kameid Reb Chiya. So now these two individuals came to Reb Chiya for din Torah. Amalei, I islach sahadi. If you, and so the buyer who bought it from somebody knows that he bought it from him, but he does, and he has a chazaka that he's been in this property 3 years, but he doesn't know for certain that this person whom he bought it from properly bought it from the owner. So therefore, Reb Chiya said, if you could bring Adam, that the person from whom you purchased it lived there, even if he just lived there for 1 day, and the Yad Ramah said that even for 1 hour, then you will prevail in this din Torah, because it's going to be considered a chazaka sheyeshi maitaina, even though the taina is not a taina to the person who's claiming that the house is his, but the fact that you could say that you bought it from a person that was living on that property, that is enough for us to let you win the din Torah. Hiloi, but if you're not if you can't bring Adam to that effect, then loi, we can't help you win the din Torah. And the reason why he has to bring Adam, that the person who he purchased it from was there at least for 1 day, because otherwise it looks like what he's saying is not true. Other pshat is that the fact that you can't even prove that he lived there is something that causes us concern to believe that he really actually didn't live there. Because if he lives there, and that would be a proof that it was truly his. There are others that explain that, why do we have to be concerned? Throughout Shas, there's a klal, the Ravitz says this pshat, ain't other maize pana. People have certain things that they will say, and certain things that they won't say. So this person who's living on this person's property does not have the audacity to say to him, I bought it from you, when he knows that he didn't buy it from him, and to say that to his face. But what he's not bothered about saying is that he has no problem saying to him that I bought it. He has no problem saying that I bought it from somebody else who bought it from you. That is not so much of a chutzpah. And since that's not so much of a chutzpah, we need to be concerned that he's going to say that. The only way that we cover that concern is by being Adam, that the person who he claimed that he bought it from and did lived in that. The Tzois says, going back to a concept that we've discussed, even though we don't say this concept by karka, says the Tzois, possession does prove things. Yes, it proves more by metatlin than it does by karka, but it proves something. So the fact that you could prove that the person whom you say you bought it from, was on it, that's a proof that it indeed was his, and that's why you could win this din Torah. The Miri has a different approach. The Miri says that what is really the claim or the strength of the claim of the person who's on the property, the fact that he has a chazaka, the fact that he was on this property, the problem being, but who? How do we know that the person whom he bought it from really ever owned this property? Says the Meiri, by him saying that this person was on the property, even if it was only there for a very short amount of time, so it's not just his chazaka. His chazaka is a continuation. Of one big chazaka, and that's why he could win. The Meiri gives a different explanation. He says, when you buy something from somebody, you should always be concerned that maybe the person who's selling it to you is selling you something that he stole, that's not really his. So, of course, the best way of proving it is by asking him, show me a deed that it's yours. We're here, we're talking 3 years later. Here we're talking about a situation that the person whom he claims he bought it from is not here anymore, to ask for the deed. So he has to be able to show that, why did you believe that the person that you bought it from really owned it? So I have to be able to respond, well, I saw him living here, living on this property. The fact that I saw him living on this property gave me every reason to believe, that this property truly belonged to him, and therefore I should be able to win this entire. Amar Rav, says Rav Havisinika made the Chavivi. I was sitting in front of my uncle. Rav Chia was Rav's uncle. He used to call him Chavivi. Vamrilei, says, V'chia einam odem, it's a likach v'limka belayla. So he says that this suggestion, he said, that you just gave is a great suggestion, but it doesn't help, he asked, in a situation where the deal was done all by night. And there, I don't know if he lived there. What will he there? What will we do under those circumstances? Says the Gemara, v'chazisi ledate. And Rav says, I saw from my uncle Rav Chia's reaction, if the person who is now on the property would have said, I bought it in front of you, Mehemen, that would be a winning claim. Why? Because he has a migui. His migui is, he could have always said that I bought it from you. And the fact that he could have said that, that gives him a migui. That's a migui that we've had many times in our Masechta, and therefore, with that migui, he could win. Amar Rava, so says Rava Kavasei, Rav Chia Mistabra. What Rav Chia said makes sense. The Ketani, we learned in our Mishnah, Abom Mishim Yerusha, Ein Tzarech Taina. If somebody says, I'm on this property, I didn't buy it from you, but I got it from Yerusha, from my father, it's enough for me to be able to stay on the property. But what we see from here, I don't have to be able to say that I know for a fact that my father bought this property from you, because he's not expected to know whom his father bought, how his father obtained property. But he will have to bring a raya that his father was on this property. And therefore here too, you're going to have to bring a raya, says the Gemara. Who says that he has to bring a raya? Maybe he doesn't have to bring a raya, not a taina. And therefore, when the Mishnah said, "Ein tzarech taina," it means that all he needs to say is that I got it from my father. Nothing more needs to be said. And therefore, our Mishnah is not a raya. You can't compare the situation of a Yairish, which is the case of our Mishnah, where a Yairish is not, as I keep on repeating, there's no expectation by a Yairish. But there is an expectation that somebody who buys a property should know from whom he bought it, and that the person whom he bought it from truly owned it. Ibailhu, nearby my. In the case that Rav Chia just discussed, when you bought a property from somebody else, you have to be able to prove that the person whom you bought it from was on that property, or at least for some time, to prove that it was his. What happens if I didn't see him living on that property, but I saw him measuring the property? That means, or what we would call negotiating on the property. Is that an indication that that property was his? Amar Abaye, he, that's a proof that it was his. Rav Amar, that's not a proof just because you were negotiating or measuring a property that it was ever yours. Because there are other inish, the Saya Ara, that people that look at properties and measure them and negotiate on them, and they never buy them. And therefore, the only way, if we want to be able to fulfill Rav Chiya's psak, is if the person is on, saw that the person whom he bought it from was actually on the property. Anything else will be inadequate to be to bring the raya that the person who I bought it from had it, owned it.